Please take your Bibles, and I'm actually going to have you turn to 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. And as we're turning there, it's kind of odd to turn to 1 Samuel, an Old Testament passage, when tonight we're coming to a conclusion of our study in the book of Ephesians, the epistle of the Ephesians, to the Ephesians. Tonight we're simply going to review, look at 11 lessons, 11 principles, 11 applications from the book of Ephesians as we look back at what we have reviewed. I think it's important as we come to a conclusion of really anything in life that we look back and learn from what we have studied. That's exactly what we're going to do tonight. But as I was studying this passage this week, actually right in the midst of this, I got a text message from somebody. And this verse was in the text message. And as I was studying the book of Ephesians, this verse reminded me of a summary of the book of Ephesians. And it's God through the prophet Samuel to Israel. So 1 Samuel 12, let's all stand as out of respect for God's word as we read verses 22 through 25. You can follow along as I read. This is Samuel said unto the people, verse 20, then down to verse 22, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." And here's the key verse, verse 24. "Only fear the Lord," that means have a healthy respect for God, and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Basically, Samuel's telling the Israelites from the Lord, understand what you have, react accordingly, and stand strong. Don't revert back to sinful ways. That's very similar, as we'll see, what the book of Ephesians is talking about. God's word is consistent. And this is the message that we're going to look at tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll be seated. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is the guide, that it is the path. That, Lord, you have given us your word to give us stability and direction in life. Thank you for the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians that you have put in your word, inspired by your Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Thank you so much for the encouragement that it is, yet also the challenge that it is to us, the motivation that it is for us, and also, Lord, the comfort that it is to us. I pray that as we review, as we look at this book, as an overview again tonight, that we would take this information that you have given us and we would apply it to our lives so that we can be more effective instruments for your glory, for the glory of God and for the advancement of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we've kind of been traveling through the book of Ephesians, now we're taking a step back. And as I like to say sometimes, it's like Google Earth. We are looking at it from the satellite view, an overview of what we've just been exploring down below. As I look at the book of Ephesians, there's two illustrations that stand out to me of describing what the book of Ephesians is about. You see on the picture there, one of the illustrations is actually, I don't know if he remembers this, but years ago, Pastor Crabtree shared this illustration with me from Ephesians chapter 1. But the book of Ephesians, one of the things about the book of Ephesians is that it clarifies our view of God. And not only does it clarify our view of God, it clarifies the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. God has given us incredible riches. And as we told the story of in Ephesians chapter 1 of the young man that went through the mountains on a drive, and this is just an illustration, an example, he went on a long journey through the mountains and he just gotten a fancy sports car. He had the top down, a convertible. He's driving through the mountains, a beautiful sunny day, and he gets out of cell phone range, out of the Google Maps range, out of it, and he's so far back in the backwoods, way back in there, he doesn't have any coverage. So he loses his way. He gets lost. And all of a sudden, he comes to an old cabin in the mountains, and there's an old man sitting on the porch. And the old man sitting on the porch says, "Hello, young man, can I help you?" He's a very cordial man. And the young man says, "Sir, I'm lost. I'm trying to figure out where to get from here to there. I need some directions." And so the old man helps him out, gives him some directions, says, "You need to go here, you need to go there." And then as the young man is walking away, he says, "Sir, I've just got to say, you've got to be one of the most fortunate man in the world." And the old man said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "How do you get to experience this beauty every single day of your life right here on your front porch? What an incredible view that you have." The old man looks at the young man. He says, "What are you talking about?" The young man says, "Hey, the view, the mountains, you can even see the streams, the cliffs, the glaciers, the wildlife all around you. What an incredible view that you have." After arguing for a little bit, the young man realizes that the old man has an eyesight problem. He only has about 20% of his eyesight, and he's not been able to see the view that he has on his front porch. So after a while, he encourages the young man, the older man, to go get his vision checked. And after a month or two, the man comes back with eyeglasses, and now he is able to sit on his front porch and see the beauty and experience what he has on his front porch. And I think when we study the book of Ephesians in a spiritual way, it's very similar to that. We see, man, yeah, we're Christians. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I think oftentimes we only understand 20% of the blessings of our Christianity. And it takes things like the book of Ephesians to say, "Hey, I'm praying that your eyes will be enlightened and opened and clarified to the true wealth that you have as a Christian because of the blessings that God has given you. You have blessings from God the Father, from God the Son, and from God the Holy Spirit." There's been many different views of what the book of Ephesians is all about. Many people say it's all about Christian unity. Other people say it's all about our position in Christ. Other people say it's just a bunch of things that a believer needs to do in order to become a better Christian. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians in two main parts, but it emphasizes one main truth. This main truth is summarized in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 is kind of the climax or the turning point in the book of Ephesians. We don't need to stand, but you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be turning back and forth through these pages quite a bit tonight. But Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says this: "Paul, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, that you live a life that matches the blessings that you have, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And then the rest of the book just follows that line. So what's the book of Ephesians all about? The bottom line of the book of Ephesians: first of all, the main theme. If you were to summarize the book of Ephesians into one sentence, it'd basically be this: God has given and is continuing to give so much to Christians. In response, Christians should live a dedicated life. Another way of saying that is a thankful life. When Christians understand what we have, then we will have a logical reaction that is a response of dedication and thankfulness back to God. That's the book of Ephesians in a nutshell. And here's the main lesson, the main application is this: our only response to God's amazing blessings should be to realize that we must live lives that glorify what God has done for us. We must walk worthy of our calling. So 11 life-changing lessons, challenges from Ephesians. As I read back through the book of Ephesians, the epistle to the Ephesians, there's 11 things that stood out to me, and I want to share those with you. These are challenges, life lessons in my life, and I believe in all of our lives as Christians. First one is this: never lose sight of what God has done for you. As Christians, never lose sight of what God has done for us. Praise Him for it. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6 says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not just a little bit, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, and it was all encompassed in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, how? By Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And why did He do it? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. God had no obligation to extend His love and blessings to us. As we've said, you know what? I think it's a good thing none of us were God. Because if we were to create something, imagine you create something, and all of a sudden your creation rebels against you, and you have the power to create it, and it is this small, minuscule thing compared to you, what would be your temptation? My temptation would be, I'm starting over. But that same God who created us, and we rebelled against Him, loves us, cares about us, showered us with opportunity and relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the death of His Son. Never lose sight of the significance of that. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has chosen us. He has made us holy and without blame. He has loved us. He's predestinated us. He's adopted us. He's accepted us. Why? For His good pleasure, verse 6. Because it pleased Him to shower us with blessings. And why? Why else? To the praise of the glory of His grace. He loved to give us blessing because it pleased Him, but it also is good for Him because it brings Him praise and glory and honor. So the second life-changing lesson from the book of Ephesians: not only should we never lose sight of what God has given us, realize that what you have, what we have because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and love. Realize what we have because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and love. We praise Him for it. We already read verse 5, but now verses 7 through 12. In whom, it's referring to Christ from verse 5. In whom we have redemption through His blood, His death on the cross, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He showered it upon us. One big, great, big bear hug. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, He's allowed us to know and understand this, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. He wanted to do it because He loves us. It pleased Him. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In the future, He would be able to bless us because of Christ in eternity in heaven, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. In whom, Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why? That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14 is written like a song. As we've said, this is a review. A three-verse song. With the first verse being the praises that we have from God the Father. And what God the Father has showered upon us. What we have because of God the Father. And then the chorus is to the praise of the glory of His grace, verse 6. And then verses 7 through 12 is what we have. It's verse number 2 of the song is Jesus Christ. What we have because of Jesus Christ. And then we have the chorus to the praise of the glory of his grace. And then verses 13 and 14 is what we have through the Holy Spirit, the Trinity song, verses 3 through 14. So why should we praise Jesus? Because of Jesus Christ, we have been adopted, redeemed, which means we've been bought back. We've had our sins forgiven. We've been given abounding grace and blessings. We've been given heaven. We've been given inheritance. He also has given us peace with God and others. And why? For our good and for his glory. So number three, realize the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. If we look back on the book of Ephesians, realize what God has done for us. Understand what we have because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and love. Realize the importance of the Holy Spirit as well. Praise him for it. Tap into his power. Really, verses 13 and 14 kind of whet the appetite. And then in chapter 5, verses 18 on, we are reminded of the Holy Spirit's control in our life. But verses 13 and 14, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard of the word of truth, is referring to Christ, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Faith in Jesus Christ is the key to these blessings. Not everybody has access to these blessings. Everybody has the availability. God has given everybody the opportunity. But the only people that receive these is people that have believed. After that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye, after that ye believed in Christ, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Then it explains the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We have eternal security through the Holy Spirit. So number four, life-changing lesson from the book of Ephesians. Don't just skim over these privileges. Understand the impact of them. So often we just go through life and we're distracted by so many things. Schedule, emotional challenges, financial challenges, physical challenges, the busyness of life, and we just coast through life. And a lot of times it takes us sitting back and realizing, wait a minute. We have God here. God has blessed us. God cares about us. We can cast our care upon him because he cares for us. And we have the book of Ephesians to help remind us of this. Don't just skim over these blessings and these privileges. Understand them. And that's like Paul in the end of Ephesians chapter 1. That's basically what he's trying to get across. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you. I don't stop thanking God for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what Paul is praying. He's praying for their enlightenment, that God would open the eyes of their understanding. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Basically, that God would allow you to understand the significance of what salvation is. What Christianity is, the blessings that you have, the resources that you have. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, basically that the sunglasses would come off and you would be able to see clearly what you have, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world but also in the world that is to come. Have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's as if Paul in the end of Ephesians 1 is saying, I pray to God that you will not just skim over the significance of these blessings that you've been given through God and through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will understand what you have. And if you need evidence of what you have, the power of God, look at two things. Look at what he's done through Christ, raising him from the dead. So now he has power over spirit, he has power over physical death. So if you need confidence in what you have, look no further than the fact that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the second illustration is, not only does he have power over physical death, he has power over spiritual death. And that's what he says in Ephesians chapter 2. You need another example of the power of God. Not only is the power of God seen in his resurrecting Jesus Christ, his son, from the dead, you can also see an illustration of his power in his resurrection from spiritual death of you. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 are probably my favorite 10 verses in all of Scripture. Basically, where you were before salvation, what happens at salvation, and then the response that we should have to our salvation. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no hope because of our sin. Not everybody goes to heaven. Because of our sin, because of God's holiness and God's justice, we are headed for hell. But because of God's love, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great mercy wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. God giving us something that we didn't deserve, and God not giving us the punishment that we deserved. Out of love, he gave us the opportunity to have a relationship with him through Christ. How, though? Verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how do we access these blessings? How do we open the door to these blessings? The key to access these blessings is faith in Jesus Christ. God has given us access to this. He's given us a relationship and forgiveness and redemption and all these things that are mentioned on a silver platter, and he's extended them to us. But in order for us to receive those, we must have faith in his son, Jesus Christ. We transfer our trust from ourselves being our authority in our lives, and we transfer our trust, we place our faith as our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. And then, verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, I thought good works don't buy our salvation. They don't. They are a reaction to our salvation, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So why do we bother doing moral things? Why do we bother doing good works? Not to gain our salvation. Not to give us a better mansion in heaven, but we do our good works out of a response of thankfulness to God. We want to reflect well on our Creator. We want to reflect well on our Savior. And so that's why we do good works. So don't just skim over these privileges. Understand the impact of them. And then number 5, got ahead of myself there. Realize where you were because of your sins, where you are if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ because of God's love, mercy, grace, kindness, and Jesus Christ's loving sacrifice, and realize where you should be. God's workmanship, living good works. Basically, literally, God's art piece, God's masterpiece. We all are reflections of our artist. We are an art piece for God. And I don't know about you, I want to be a good art piece reflecting well my artist. I don't want to be that stick figure, abstract art type, can't understand it. I want to be a good reflection of my artist, my creator, my God. And that's what verse 10 talks about. So we were hopeless and living as slaves in Satan's kingdom. We were brought graciously into God's kingdom through Christ. We now need to view ourselves as art pieces for God. So number 6, main lesson from the book of Ephesians. God has given you all the equipment you need to be a super, superhero Christian. A lot of times we think, man, you see, it seems like our society is infatuated with superheroes. Man, if only I could be like that. If only I could be a super Christian. Man, you look at through history and you look at the lives of Moses in the Bible, Moses and David and Daniel and the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and all these people. And then you look at throughout history and you think of great men and women of God throughout history. And you just think, wow, Amy Carmichael and Hudson Taylor and Jim Elliot and this person and that person. And wow, Fanny Crosby and this person. Why can't I be like that? And what this is saying, this passage is saying, is the only thing between them and you is nothing. All right? God has given you all of the resources to be a super Christian. He's given everybody those same resources. And what are those? Have a strong, spirit-filled inner man. Spirit-controlled inner man. We yield ourselves to the Spirit's control in our life. And what is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses later in Ephesians? His Word. So we become students of the Word, and we allow the Word of God to work in our lives, and we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit's work and control in our lives, and we listen, and we yield, and we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. How else? Allow Christ to be at home in our lives. Christ may settle down and be at home in your life. And then have love as the main foundation of our lives. Love God, love others, love each other. Those were Jesus Christ's main instructions to his followers and to us. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. And then right before he went up, and right before he was crucified, he told his disciples, love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So spirit-controlled, Christ-centered, love as the foundation, and then finally realize the greatness of Christ's love to us. Revel in it. Find your security, your foundation in it. And that's the end of chapter 3. Basically, if you look back at our position in Christ, it's a little bit like either the lottery or a raffle, all right? And a lot of times we look and we always want to get the prize. Every year we either have the Children's Hospital or we have the Boys and Girls Club Mighty Millions raffle. And I'm always tempted to put in there because I see those great big prizes and I never do, all right? But I'm tempted to buy one of those raffle tickets because those prizes are pretty amazing. Imagine someone gave you a ticket and you take it, you're like, wow, this is pretty good. And then the next couple weeks, someone comes, there's a knock on your door and they say, guess what? You just won the car of your dreams. Or maybe you just won the dream house. You just won the lottery. You just won this amazing gift. So let's just imagine it's the nicest car of your dreams. And so you get there, it's sitting out in front of you, and they say, okay, here's what the car of your dreams is all about. And they list all the features, they list all the specs, they give you all the descriptions and give you all that stuff, and then they drive away and you don't have the key. So you can just sit there and look at it, all right? But what this is saying is if you want to plug in and experience the blessings that God has given you, you need these things. A spirit-filled, controlled life. You need Christ to be at home and settle down at your lives. You need love as the main foundation of your life. And you need to realize the security that you have with Jesus Christ. So we've been given this incredible blessing. Now we need to use it. What does that mean, though? How do we react to that? And that's Ephesians 4 through 6. Verse 7 says this, the seventh main lesson is this. Respond to those blessings by living like you care. By living like you realize what God has done and is doing for you and are thankful for it. Ephesians 4, 1, and really through chapter 6, verse 9. I therefore, because of what I've just said in chapters 1 through 3, because of all this, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. It's my obligation, it's my duty to do this. beseech you, that means I beg you, I urge you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, that you live up to what you have. It's almost as if, I've heard this illustration before, I've given this illustration in our study. It's almost as if you are a poor beggar living in the streets and slums of a major city. And you're trying to make it from day to day by going from dumpster to dumpster to trash can, getting the crusts and the trash and the food, and you're feeding off the scraps and you're struggling to survive. And all of a sudden, a big fancy limousine comes by the alley that you're sleeping in and says, "Hey, get in. I've adopted you. Come live with me." And you come to this big fancy mansion and you have a reaction. You can either say, "Hey, I'm going to try to pay you back," and there's no way we can pay back God for the salvation he's given us. Or we can say, "You know what? Thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. I want to live a life that shows my gratefulness to you." That's the same in our spiritual lives. God has gifted us with an adoption and an inheritance that is far beyond our capacity to even imagine what it's like. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It's beyond our imagination. So what's our reaction to it? A thankful life. A life that brings our new master glory. So respond to these blessings by living like you care. We are now adopted sons of the Almighty King of creation. Live like it. That's what it's saying. Walk worthy of it. And then it explains how to do that. Some practical examples. Number 8, don't lose sight of the importance of the church in God's plans for you. God's plan is for you and your church to be unified and actively working together. Chapter 4 talks about spiritual gifts. It talks about unity. It talks about the body of Christ. And it gives the analogy of a body of Christ that is has different members, just like the human body has different body parts. And the body of Christ is literally like that. We have different members of the body of Christ that have different grace enablements that when we work together can make traction in our society, in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. But if we're not unified and we're not utilizing the spiritual gifts that God has given us, we don't gain that traction. And so what Ephesians 4 is talking about is, as a body of Christ, be unified, headed in the same direction, using the enablements that God has given you to make an impact in your society and your world. We need to be unified both in mind and spirit, and our attitude. We need to use our spiritual gifts to the best of our ability. And as we looked at last week, it's important to communicate with each other, to comfort each other, and to connect with other Christians. That's part of God's plan. The 9th lesson from the book of Ephesians is, as a Christian who is now a part of God's kingdom, we need to get rid of worldliness and embrace godliness. "This I say therefore," Ephesians 4:17, "and testify in the Lord that you walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." And then it goes through a list of how a non-Christ-centered, spirit-controlled person walks. And then it says, "But that ye put off the concerning the former conversation, your old life, the old man, which is corrupt, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man." So what's the lesson? As a Christian who's now part of God's kingdom, get rid of our old worldly filthiness of our lifestyle and embrace a godliness lifestyle. So how? By walking in love, by walking in light, and by looking around. We looked at those passages. Ephesians 4:17 through 5:18. Verse 5:2, walk in love. Walk in light. Walk in wisdom. So our life is a walk. And we need to live our lives in such a way that we reflect well on our Creator. By walking worthy, by walking in love, by walking in light, and by looking around, walking in wisdom. Then the 10th lesson we learn from the book of Ephesians is realize the importance of spirit-filled love, spirit-controlled love, and co-submission. Spirit-controlled life. Chapter 5, verses 18, all the way really to chapter 6, verse 9, talks about a spirit-controlled life in our relationships. As a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a parent, as an employee, as an employer, how are you to interact in relationships in a spirit-controlled way? And then number 11, lesson application from the book of Ephesians, be strong by using the equipment that the equipment or really the resources that God has given you to defeat the battle plan of the devil. We talked about realizing the danger of the devil and his forces. And you use the resources, the equipment that God has given you to defend against their attacks. What are those resources that God has given us? Truth, righteousness, gripped with the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God. All of these empower the Holy Spirit in our life. Prayer, stand strong, realizing that we will face an evil day. Satan knows us well. He's smart. He has a battle plan to attack us at our weakest spot. Whether it be emotionally or physically or spiritually or financially or relationally or in whatever way, Satan and his influences know how to take us down. So instead of being scared, stand close to the commander and stand strong, utilizing these things: truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the word of God. Find our stability in those things. And that's how we can stand. So quickly, I've given you the basic outline of Ephesians just for you, really for you to look over and to have as a resource. But when we look as an overview of the book of Ephesians, we have two main parts. We have the position of the Christian, and we have the practice of the Christian. Another way of saying that is the doctrine of Christianity and then the duty of Christianity. So here's the outline of Ephesians, and I'll go through this quickly. I won't go through it in depth. We have the wealth of the Christian. Ephesians has been called the bank of the believer. Blessings which God has showered upon us. The divine change that a Christian goes through. It talks about Gentiles, that's us, as non-Jews. We should rejoice even more because we have been included in salvation. Christ has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Paul describes his divine mission to spread the good news to the Gentiles. Paul's prayer for comprehension and passionate praise to God. So we have the wealth of the Christian. We have the walk of the Christian. Walk worthy, walk unified, walk together, walk in light, walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk in the Spirit. All of those things. Walk worthy in the home, walk worthy in the workplace, walk worthy. And then we have the warfare of the Christian. If you understand what you have and you're living how you should, then you will face warfare. Satan will try to disrupt and distract and discourage and trip you up. So then we have the warfare of the Christian. The call to strength. Stand strong. Realize that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Realize your enemy, his tactics. Realize our resources, our weapons. And then last of all, realizing our friends. So what? I've given you kind of a study guide here. I don't want us just to get into the habit of listening to somebody talk on Sunday night and then forgetting all about it. I'd like us to try to read through this and regurgitate on this week. All right? Let it ruminate. So here's some questions I'd like you to consider on your own in your own Bible study this week. First of all, if you had to summarize Ephesians in one sentence, how would you do it? Looking back on the book of Ephesians, we just look at 11 lessons. There's more in there. How would you describe what is one main lesson from Ephesians that you can personally apply to your life? And here's a challenge. This week, read through the book of Ephesians. It's 6 chapters. It's not a real long read. Read through the book of Ephesians. And as you do so, I pray that God would open your eyes to 3 things. Pray that God would open your eyes to the wealth that you have as a Christian. God, thank you for what you've given me. Open my eyes to what I have. Because the more we understand God's goodness, the more stable and confident we are in our lives. And second of all, pray that God would open your eyes to the walk that we should be living as a Christian. Lord, reveal things to me where I'm getting off the path. Help me to walk worthy of what you've given me. And pray that as you're reading through Ephesians. And then last of all, pray that God would open your eyes to the warfare that you will experience or are experiencing as a Christian. Because you will face it. And when it comes, what are you going to do? You're going to rely back on God's word, the Spirit, Christ's strength, which strengthens us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the resources you've given us. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for eternal security. Thank you for adoption. Thank you for the inheritance that we have. Thank you for redemption. But thank you for the all spiritual blessings that you've given us in heavenly places in Christ. Lord, I pray that we would respond with faith. Yes, in salvation, but also throughout our lives, the life situations, trust. I pray that we would respond with thankful living. I pray that we would respond with strength. We would stand strong in the warfare. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Seems to be a theme this week. I know in my conversations with different people, we're in a battle. You know, we're wealthy in Christ. God's given the word. Get in the word. Turn the key on. Live it. Seems to be a theme this week. You know, we can't do it without the word of God. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. It's been said that it's not hard to live the Christian life. It's impossible without Christ or without the Holy Spirit. Word filled, spirit filled. I don't know. It should be interesting to talk about how we would answer that question. How would you summarize? I would say, you're wealthy, walk like it. Or I thought, turn the key on. Start living what you know. Amen. Father, we are so grateful for what we've heard tonight. We're so rich in Christ. You've given us all that we need to live a victorious Christian life, to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's what you want in our lives. You've given us your word. You've given us the Holy Spirit through Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Dear God, help us to live your word this week. Help us to be people of the book.